As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
This is Issues 2022. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Sedgwick County Election Commissioner Angela Cadillo. Hey, welcome to Issues 2022.
Well, thank you for having me.
I'm curious, am I pronouncing your name correctly? Is Cadillo the way you like to say it?
Cadillo is the way we say it, yes.
Okay. Now, how did you get the job as election commissioner? How'd that work?
I was appointed last year in July by the Secretary of State.
I was thinking that's an appointed position. What did you do before that then?
Well, I've worked in county government for around 13 years. I worked for the county clerk's office for about a decade, and I also worked for ComCare for almost 2 years.
Okay. Was that here in Sedgwick County?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. ComCare. Well, there, that was interesting, I'll bet. A lot going on with mental health these days.
It's a great organization.
Okay. Now, tell us where you're from and where you went to school. Tell us a little background, if you don't mind.
I am from Wichita, Kansas. I grew up here and went to Southeast High School. I started college in 1994 and finished a couple decades later. I traveled a little bit with my husband, who was in the military at the time, and lived in Oklahoma and lived in Georgia and came back to Wichita and settled here and went through some family changes, but been here in Wichita since 2004. Other than that, I spent 3 very hot months in the desert of California in 1995 and decided not to do that again, but Kansas has always been my home.
You know, and it's interesting. I'm not going to go into the details because it sounds personal, but what do you say? How many years did it take you to get your degree?
Yikes.
You said
started in 1994, and I believe I graduated in 2015
okay.
from college.
So it wasn't a straight 4 years, and that was it, huh?
No, it was interrupted several times.
Well, I bet by the time you finally got that degree, you were pretty doggone happy to have it.
it took a lot of work and a lot of dedication, and a lot of patience from family, and actually a lot of patience from advisors at the school because they kept seeing me so often, so many years in a row.
There you go. Hey, Sedgwick County has a primary election and a constitutional amendment on the ballot August 2nd. Will that abortion amendment drive voter turnout higher than usual for this election? That's what we're hearing anyway.
So in a primary election, which is what typically takes place in the summer months in state election years, typically, only registered Republicans and registered Democrats are eligible to vote. But Sedgwick County has, I believe, over 100,000 Libertarian and unaffiliated voters. And so those voters are eligible to vote in this election. The Republican Party and the Democratic Party are both holding their primaries, and on those ballots, the constitutional amendment will appear. But every registered voter in Sedgwick County is eligible to vote on the constitutional amendment. So there's also a nonpartisan ballot that Libertarian and unaffiliated voters can vote on. And just simply by doing the math, there will be more people showing up because more people are eligible to vote.
That's very interesting. I did not realize that there were that many people who were calling themselves libertarians. So they have a special ballot, huh?
Well, it's that number I gave you is a combination of libertarian and unaffiliated.
Oh, okay. So I would call them independent.
So libertarians actually nominate the primary process for the Democratic and Republican parties is to nominate their candidates that will appear on the general election ballot in November. Yeah. The Libertarian Party has a different nomination process, and I believe they do that through a party convention.
Gotcha. The old-fashioned way, which I've been talking to political scientists over the years. Some of them have said, that's the way we should do it again. But that's a different deal. What kind of voter turnout do you expect, percentage-wise, for this election?
Well, that's a good question. Generally, in a statewide midterm primary, we see between 30 to 35%. Now, so that's 30 to 35% of those eligible. And again, generally, we're talking about only those two major parties. pardon me. We were wondering if we might hit 50% of all eligible voters. And so that would be a great number to have. We would love to see that, and we'd love to even see more. But just by the sheer nature of more people being eligible, even if we hit 30 to 35%, that still results in a whole lot more people voting than normally would in this kind of election.
Wow. And total number of registered voters in Sedgwick County, how many are total?
Right over 329,000. The numbers change daily. Registration has stopped. So we're not adding more, but at this point, the numbers might change a little bit because there are removals due to deaths. Some people request to be removed. They move out of state and get removed from the registration numbers that way, or if they're removed for a felony conviction. So those numbers are always going to fluctuate a little bit.
But you know,
over 329,000.
You know, that seems to me that's a lot. That seems to be a pretty high number. I mean, I would say in Sedgwick County there, I would have thought maybe 500,000 people total. That's counting minors, boys and girls, and cats and dogs even. So it seems to me that's...
I haven't taken a look at the recent census numbers, but again, I think it's the voter registration demonstrates that people are interested in elections. They're interested in becoming engaged, having their voices heard, and so we always think participation is a good thing.
And how many people actually vote by mail in Sedgwick County?
So that's going to depend on the election. We have sent out over 24,000 advance by mail ballots. Now, not every single one of those will be returned. Some people may decline to vote or maybe even forget to send it back. But those who have received a ballot, they can send those back to our office. We actually have to have them, they have to be in the mail, postmarked no later than 7 p.m. on election night. So that's on the 2nd of August. And then they have to be received in our office by Friday, the 5th. And then for any of those who want to drop them off, they can drop them off at a drop box. They can drop them off at our election office. Or on election day, they can drop them off. There's a box inside every polling place that a person could walk in and put their advance by mail ballot in there. So any of those drops, they have to be done by 7 p.m. on election night or in the mail by 7 p.m. on election night.
Very good.
And then they have a special envelope, and they have to be returned in that envelope in order to go through that process and be counted.
Absolutely. And it occurs, I just remembered this is your first election, and I'm asking you a bunch of numbers questions. I hope it's not too annoying, but I like to try to get numbers on things like this, such as, do you have any idea how many people will actually vote in advance of Election Day, or is that something you have to look at after you count the votes?
Well, we can look at past years and kind of determine, but it's interesting. When I looked at 2020, it looked like in 2020 general election, about 60% total, I think, voted early or by advance mail, and then about 40% on Election Day.
Wow. That's interesting. It looks like the county does almost anything, well, a lot of things to try to make it just as convenient for people to cast their ballots as possible and not having everybody come on Election Day.
Well, a lot of people like to come and vote early. We have early voting in our office always before the election, and that is that ends the Monday before Election Day. So it runs weekdays from 8 to 5, and then it ends at noon on Monday before Election Day. And then we typically open up satellite early voting centers as well for these major elections. And those typically run 3 days or 5 days, depending on the election. This time they're running Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And so it's Thursday the 29th, Friday the 30th, and then Saturday the 31st. Did I get that right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think I got those dates wrong. So.
Well, I understand where you're going. I got to tell you, my personal story is I work on the east side of town. I live in Riverside. It's very convenient for me to just drop by there at the old county courthouse. And I'll tell you, the past few elections, I've been very efficient. I've never had to wait very long, and it's an efficient way for me to do it. And I appreciate the convenience of doing that at your election offices there.
Well, we love to have people come through, and we've seen over 4,000 voters here in our office since we started early in person for this election. And I did get those dates wrong. Let me go ahead and give those to
you. It's
okay. July 28th. It's July 28th and 29th, our satellite early voting centers are open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And on July 30th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Now, so that's not at the courthouse. That's our satellite centers. And on our website, we have a list of all of those. But, yes, we've seen over 4,000 people through our office already.
Okay. You're listening to Issues 2022 on the Odyssey radio stations. And our guest is Sedgwick County Election Commissioner Angela Cardillo. Angela, what does the voter need to bring to the polling place now?
That's a great question. Voters need to bring valid government-issued photo ID. And if they don't know where their polling place is, they can hop over to our website. And on the front page, we have a link that says Locate Your Election Day Polling Place. That's at sedgwickcounty.org/elections. We also have a link that you can view your sample ballot. So you can take a look and know what's going to be on your ballot before you go and vote. The busiest times are when we first open around 6 in the morning and then around the noon hour, as well as after 5 and getting close to closing time. So those are the busiest times if you want to avoid the busy times, or you could obviously vote early in person at one of our satellite voting centers.
Typically, how long does it take to vote in this election?
I suppose that's going to depend on traffic, on how many people are at the polling place. Different polling places have different amount of... are you talking about the ballot?
No, I'm thinking you probably have never put a stopwatch on it and said, well, here comes Miss So-and-so, bang, and timed it. But to me, the times I've been down at downtown, it hasn't taken, more than about 5 minutes to get the whole thing done.
That's excellent. Yeah, check-in process, we'd like to be smooth. Really, the time that you'll spend selecting your candidates on your contest, if you have many candidates on your ballot, it's going to depend on how long your ballot is, how long it takes, I would suppose. but yeah, hopefully people can get in, get their selections made, get their ballot submitted, and get on their way.
You know, voter fraud has become a political issue in recent years. Is that a big problem in Sedgwick County, do you think?
Well, we always want to be on the lookout for anything that that doesn't look quite right. If anybody sees anything that they don't think seems right, we would encourage them to either call our office or if they believe they see something illegal happening, to report it to the police. We have a lot of security measures in place, and so we're very happy with the things that we have in place to try and keep our elections as secure as possible. But definitely, if anybody were to see anything, we would want them to report it.
And then what potential punishment awaits somebody who might be convicted of voter fraud? I tell you, frankly, over the past few years, I haven't heard of anybody actually being convicted of it, but I would imagine there's some sort of penalty for doing that.
You know, there's some statutes that deal with election crimes. I think some are misdemeanors and some are felonies. So it depends on the severity.
Is there a problem? Do you ever have a problem with simple mistakes? People just making mistakes on how they do things?
Well, there have been times where people have, and it rarely happens, but where people will come to vote because they forgot that they already voted an advance ballot. They would get one by mail and, you know, get one right when advance voting starts. And by the time the election comes around, they forgot they voted. They show up at the polling place, and we would indicate it appears that we've already received a ballot from you. And if they insist they still want to vote, well, then there's a provisional process for that. The voter would be shown to the provisional table. They'd be given a provisional ballot. It goes in a special envelope, and that would be marked as such. And when the Board of County Canvassers meet to determine which provisionals are counted, that would be in a group of ballots. And not a big group, but if it appeared that someone had already voted, it would be in that group of ballots, then we would indicate that. And they would make the decision accordingly. But we would always research that and make sure that we understood all of the circumstances surrounding that. Usually it's just something like an error, an accident.
Yeah, an innocent mistake. You know, I was just thinking about my son who is serving overseas for a number of years, and he would there would be an election that he would do an absentee or overseas ballot, however that works. I would imagine there's not going to be a lot of that going on in this election, but do we get overseas ballots, things like that?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, there is a process for that. It's a special process, and we do have to follow that. And for either citizens residing outside the U.S. or our military members, there is a special process for that. And we do get a decent amount of that.
Hmm. All right. Hey, you talked about this just a moment ago a little bit, but could you explain for our listeners the process to confirm the election results? You get the ballots in, and then how do you confirm that everything's okay?
So do you mean at the polls?
No, I mean after the canvassing. I think I'm talking about the canvassing process.
Oh, okay. So so for a provisional, if someone has voted provisionally, we'll give them information that indicates the reason for the provisional and whether or not they have an opportunity to cure it. And when the county canvass takes place, they can come and watch the canvass, listen, and then they can always call us afterwards and find out if their ballot was counted or not.
Who canvasses? Is it the county commission? Who does that? Who's responsible for that?
The Board of County Canvassers is the Board of County Commissioners or whomever they may appoint or delegate if they are not able to attend or if they don't attend. Sometimes they will appoint someone as a proxy if they're on the ballot. Sometimes they choose to do that.
Yeah. Is it something, I'm sorry, I've never seen this, but is it something where they all sit and look at each ballot or is it, how do you count them then?
Categories of provisionals. Okay. Maybe there's some that people didn't show their ID. There may be, out of that group, there may be some people who didn't come in and show it afterwards and some people who did come in and show it. And so then we would recommend one category to go one way and another category to go another way. And so they'll hear all of those and make votes on those. And then they do sometimes get to look at specific ballots. If we cannot determine voter intent, so if there's a ballot that someone marked and they marked one thing and scratched it out and marked another thing and scratched it out and made two arrows or something like that, and we can't determine what the voter's intent was, then that will go to the Board of County Canvassers. And there are some guides that they use that are provided that gives them an idea of what voter intent marks might look like. But ultimately, they would decide that. Same thing for signature issues. If we can't verify a signature and we can't get it cleared up, we would present those to the Board of County Canvassers along with previous signature samples, and they would look over those and review those and make the final decision regarding those items as well.
What is the role of volunteers? I know you've got volunteers working for you. What do they actually do? They just kind of run the polling place?
Oh, election workers. They make the whole thing go. We couldn't do anything without election workers. Election workers, they will check people in. They will help with line control. They will show people to the voting areas if they have a problem. They'll assist them in getting that problem corrected, show them where to put their ballot once it's been cast or once it's been completed so that it can be counted. They get all the supplies there. They set up everything. They tear it down. They bring back supplies. They bring the results to our office. They run the show on election day.
How many do you have? Do you have a number of how many people are actually election workers for you?
For elections like this, we try to staff, I would just give an estimate around 500 to 550 for mm-hmm. a general election, between 700 and 800, depending on how busy the election is going to be. Typically, presidential years are busier than midterm years.
Sounds like it might be kind of fun, unless there's a long line and people are annoyed with you. It sounds like it'd be kind of fun.
Am I hearing you say you'd like to sign up? Because I can send you the link.
No, you better let me out of it. Hey, now, are there sources for a transportation to the polls? I'm thinking about people who are shut in and immobile and so forth. Are there ways for them to get to the polls?
The election office does not provide ways to the polls. Typically, I think people would utilize public transportation. I've heard anecdotally that sometimes different groups will give rides. So those resources might be out there.
Okay. There have been problems with computers in the past, and as you know, and how are you confident? Are you confident that all the computers are going to be working well this time around?
Yes. So we have a extensive logic and accuracy process. And what that basically means is that we test our equipment. We test it to make sure it's working. We test it to make sure it counts correctly. We compare it to a preset set of results, so we make sure that it comes out the way we think it should, based on our ahead of time counts. And actually, we have a public test of equipment here in our office that occurs at 10 this Friday. So 10 on the 29th, 10 in the morning. And where people can come in and look and see the equipment we're going to be using. But not only does it occur before the election, but then we repeat that test again after the election so that we can show that nothing has changed. And that portion takes place on August 15th at 10 a.m. So July 29th at 10 here at the office and August 15th at 10 at the office.
All right. Well, this is my fault, but I should add right here that this program is going to play on Saturday and Sunday. So part of what you're saying is dated, but the information is good. Hey, listen, what do you like about this job? You've only been in just a little while, but what's good about being the election commissioner in Sedgwick County?
You know, it's a super busy job, and it definitely keeps me busy. The people that we work with are fantastic. The people that we serve are great. You know, I don't think there's any better people on earth than Kansans. But the neat thing about elections is that once you walk in and once you make that decision on a ballot, your voice is heard. It's heard forever. Some people might go and speak in front of a group of their elected officials. Some people might hold signs, but some people don't necessarily want to have their voice heard that way. But once you walk in and cast a vote, that's your voice. It's going to show up on our results. It's there forever. So I think that's pretty neat that people get their voice heard, and I get to be a little part of that.
Heard a lot about COVID recently. Are people supposed to wear masks, or is that optional?
No one will be turned away for wearing or not wearing a mask.
Okay.
People can choose to wear a mask if they would like to. We will have some available.
All right. Well, listen, again, appreciate your time this morning, Angela, and best of luck to you. I think probably come off to be a very smooth election, and everybody will be, I'm sure, really pleased with the results. But thank you for spending time with us this morning. That's important work you're doing. Sedgwick County Election Commissioner Angela Cardillo, our guest this week. And that's all for this edition of Issues 22. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.